Every step on the journey from expert to executive leads away from your craft. This sentiment is easier to grasp than embrace. As you may know from firsthand experience, many experts successfully climb the career ladder unaware their value to the organization is shifting. With each step, they continue to cling to their technical capabilities, hanging on to the belief that it is the autonomy, scope, and impact of their work, not the work itself, that is changing. These leaders pour their lives into their work, many of them producing outstanding results and widespread accolades. Meanwhile, under the surface, a dangerous dynamic is unfolding. The more time a leader spends on the team's work, the less time they leave for leading. Strategy development and coordination, organizational alignment, coaching, and other responsibilities get pushed aside in favor of solving technical puzzles and doing the technical work. Additionally, as these leaders lean in too hard and too far into the team's work, they cannot help but displace those who are supposed to be doing it. This is often intimidating and awkward for the team. Even when it is welcome and the team asks for the support, it can result in lower employee engagement and the stagnation of capabilities as the leader continues laying claim to the most interesting and advanced work of the team. Clearly, the longer this cycle continues, the worse the consequences can be for any organization. However, as employee dissatisfaction grows and team capabilities flatline, these departments become even more dependent on their overzealous executives, because the team is no longer capable of doing the work on its own. This dynamic complicates changing course and reinforces the leader's idea that it is their technical skills the company values most. As an executive coach and consultant, I work with executives every day, most report being either ill-equipped or too busy to lead. Further, they are not satisfied with the leadership they see occurring above or below them. Everyone, it seems, is troubled by the amount of time leaders spend leading versus doing, yet the problem persists. Why aren't we getting a sufficient return on our development dollars? Is the problem that we aren't getting a return at all, or are we simply not getting a lasting return? What do we mean when we say leaders need to spend more time leading and less time doing? These are just a few of the difficult questions preoccupying my mind over the past several years. Answers came to me slowly at first. In the end, I believe I uncovered a simple truth. Our leaders aren't leading because we haven't clearly defined the term or differentiated their work from their team's work. My best academic argument was, and still is, this. We conceive of leadership when we hold an objective in our minds we cannot achieve alone. We bring it to life when we act to engage others for the purpose of generating the will and capacity to collaborate. Yes, there is an objective, and the objective is an important impetus and success measure, but it cannot be the primary focus of the leader. The leader's role is to create the capacity for goal attainment. To leaders who are interested in exploring this subject in more depth, I offer the subsequent chapters of this book as a more approachable introduction to how this disruptive, yet remarkable common sense model can be put to use to help you lead and mentor more and more effectively. My greatest hope is we can do something together I could not do alone.